about so many different things. So in the video, we're going to just kind of give you of what's coming up ahead. But right now, to start off, we're going to talk about, when we think of purity, it's not just about not having sex or not going too far, anything like that. Purity is something that involves your whole lifestyle, your choices, your thoughts, the decisions you make. It involves a lot more. And to be able to stay pure means you've got to get all those things in check. You got to figure out what you want, make decisions now for all those different areas. So we're going to cover a bunch of different things. But before that, I want to just get to know you a little bit more and get to let you get to know me a little bit more. So just so quickly, how many in here do we have who are single but out of college already? Anybody? Single and out of college? Okay. How many are in college? Okay. And high school? Okay. Junior high? Very great. Good. Well, I have been out of college for a long time. A long time. But my testimony is this, and I want to share this up front so you know where I'm coming from when I say certain things. I did grow up in church, but and my real dad, I do not know. He's actually, I hear, a very bad alcoholic, and he actually lives close to here in Pomona, but never had the chance to meet him. My dad, who adopted me, is a pastor and has become like my dad, so I just use my dad. And when I was younger, I was very, very shy. If you would come talk to me, literally my eyes would start watering, just wondering if you would ask me a question, how would I respond? So all this drama, nobody's even asked me anything yet. That's how I was, you know? And I just had all kinds of insecurities, hang-ups, and I'm going to share a lot of those with you. When I was younger, I was molested when I was younger. I had to deal with a lot of that. We're going to talk a little bit about that later. I had a passion inside, though, to be free. I could see other people and other girls in high school, junior high, all the way up to college. I struggled with this even in college. And just recently now, I'm starting to feel free. But I could see people and I thought, gosh, they just seem like they can just be themselves. They're so free. They're just, it's not that they're like the Mr. and Mrs. Popular, but they're just happy with who they are. And I didn't see that in myself because I had, you know, just to walk out of, you know, to talk to people was like a big ordeal, get ready and, you know, armed up and ready to go. And I said, God, I want to be free. I want to be free for who you called me to be, what you want, and the things inside that I just want to do. I remember, I mean, I love Jesus like crazy, but I would not raise my hands in church just because I didn't want people to say anything about me. And I remember the first time I did it, I just was like, okay, here we go. And I did it. I wouldn't even think I was thinking about worshiping God. All I was thinking is my hand is in the air, you know? But I know that that was a big deal to God because it was a big deal to me, you know? So we're going to go from all over the field, but the greatest thing for me is that in my weaknesses, the very things that I was completely weak in, God has made those my strengths because of him inside of me. I could not talk. When I started singing and speaking and everything after college, a lot of my high school friends and everything were like, Irene, I didn't even know you could sing. Yeah, I didn't either, you know? I didn't even know you could talk, you know? I didn't either, you know? But in my room when I was a little girl, I used to always take off the things off the bed. I had four posts on my bed, take them off and sing and, you know, just be in my own world. But I thought every girl did that, and that was just what you do when you're by yourself, you know? But God has brought to fulfillment so many dreams and so many desires. And I really believe is the reason that I'm here today, number one, is because of the people that God had put in my life that gave me direction and set me on the right path, the choices that I made, how I got up from my mistakes, how I got back up, and also just by making God the center of my life. Even when it was difficult, even when I was headed on the wrong path, I always knew I got to come back. So with that said, we're going to get started for our first thing. And I need, as if maybe this front row right here, if you guys, every time, if you guys would mind and come up and hold one of these. So when the first one comes, would you mind helping me for that? Not yet, sweetie, but I'll call you. Just getting you ready for it. Okay, did you guys bring your Bibles? Yes. Fabulous. If you guys would please turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. This is my favorite verse, and we're going to, this is going to be part of our first session, what we're going to talk about. Just to give you an idea, our first session, we're going to talk about the choices we make in our identity. The second session, we're going to talk more about dating and guys and girls and how we're different. And the last session, and about sex, more on that one. And then on the last one, about our commitment. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Oh, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. It says, whoa, I keep hitting this, sorry. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. So let's read that again. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Choices. Life is choice-driven. We make choices every single day, hundreds of them. Little ones from what are we going to wear, to big ones about work and family and relationships. Life is choice-driven. One choice can push you way ahead, and one choice can definitely push you back. Now, the way we make choices is usually based on how we view ourselves and how we view God. So our identity, who we are, is a big deal in purity, how we view ourselves. Definition of identity is this: a set of characteristics or behavior that someone is known by, makes an individual recognizable by a member of a group, a quality or condition of being the same or something as something else, a uniqueness. So you ever know, sometimes you don't know somebody, but you're like, hey, you know that that girl over there, that skater chick, you know, you identify people by what they do. Oh, that singing girl, oh, that guy that plays basketball, or, you know, or how, for where they look, oh, the girl with the curly hair. We're identified by so many different things. Now, our identity is in Christ, and I know we hear that a lot in church, but to make that a reality in your life is what I want you to be able to open up today. My question to you is this: what are you sitting in today? Where are you finding your identity? Now, some of us may think like this is totally, for us older ones, like this is so, you know, when I was in junior high and high school, but it's not, because we continually, I was working at a job, I was a youth leader for Foursquare International, and then all of a sudden, big old things happened, my mom was sick, I moved home, I had no job, no nothing, and I just felt, wow, I found my identity in work. And by the things that I've done. But we're going to talk about some of the stuff as we're growing up and even now. So come on up. Sometimes we find our identity in, what's this? Say it out loud.
Peer pressure.
Because we want to please. Sometimes we can be people pleasers. And we want to fit in. And other times we find our identity in our fears, our loneliness, our insecurities. We start thinking, oh my gosh, I'm never going to do this. I can't do this. She's this. We compare ourselves and we begin to find our worth and our value in that. Come on, sweetie. So if anyone's shy, I'm helping you out here. We're going to get you out. Sometimes we find our identity in what we have. Dude, if I'm riding, you know, in this fabulous car, all of a sudden I feel fabulous. You know what I mean? But if I'm riding in my brother's clunker, I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, like, I don't know what he sees me. You find your identity sometimes in what we have and our money. Come on up, please. Walk on up as soon as I put it out there. Talents. Sometimes we find our identity in what we do. I play with a lot of musicians, and sometimes they are so much into what they do that they feel like if they can't show you what they do, or if they was gone, they would have no worth. So the next thing is their talents. The next thing, come on up, sweetie, next three. Success. If we have success, and then we find our identity in that, and we feel our value and worth in that. What people say. All of us care what people say. That is sometimes one of the biggest things that hold us back, is by what people say. Relationships. Sometimes we find our identity in, thank you very much. Sometimes we find our identity in our relationships. You ever know sometimes, even maybe some of us in here are like this, but it just seems like you can't not be by yourself. You have to always be with somebody or have somebody with you. And that's something that we find our identity. Our outer appearance. This is a big one for everybody. And we're going to talk more about this later. But sometimes we just feel like I have to have it together or be like this or look like someone else. The media, a commercial almost every time is telling you, this is, you're lacking this, you need this, something is wrong, that's basically what a commercial is. Have you ever been to the mall and you go and you're all fixed up, you're dressed up, and you go and all of a sudden you go and all of a sudden what you're wearing doesn't seem that fabulous anymore because you're around newer clothes. And has that ever happened to anybody? It's just a bummer because you leave and you're just thinking, oh, I'm great, I'm content, I'm happy. Outer appearances have a lot to do with that. So my question to you today, thank you guys, my question to you today is, what are you sitting in today? What are you finding your identity? What are your tendencies? Thank you. For me, I'm a big people pleaser. I used to always feel like if I needed to make everybody happy, that would be it. Life is choice driven, how you identify yourself. Now here, society and world, that's how they identify people. But I'm going to give you a couple examples. I read three interviews, one from Time Magazine, one was from TV, and the other one from People Magazine. And they asked, this is a while ago, Magic Johnson, you got money, you have fame, you have talent, success, girls, fulfillment. What is something that you still want to attain in life? And he said, fulfillment. Because there's still something lacking. Mariah Carey was asked in an interview too, what else do you want to do? What, is there something that you haven't accomplished yet that you want to do? She's like, you know, I've done a lot. I'm very grateful. But I wish I could just understand how I can have and always have just happiness. Now this is coming from somebody who's got everything that you would think society has. Michael Jackson. He was asked, he's got a zoo, an amusement park in his backyard, he's pursuing his career. What is it that you would like to do? They asked him, and then in different words. And he said, you know what is my life, in my life, what I would like to do is to find the cure for loneliness. And this is coming, you guys know these people, the whole world knows these people. The reason is and you all know this, is because that we were created to have relationship with God. First and foremost, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And because of that, all these other things are temporary. They work for a little bit, but they don't fill the void, and it's not, no true love can be found inside of that. So I'm going to ask you this. Have you ever been in a chair that's broken? These are like broken chairs, and one of the legs is broken, and you have to sit there but kind of hold yourself up. That's how it is with all these other things. Unless God is the center, unless you've made the right choices and you have a good foundation, it's like in life you're sitting on a chair, but you got to hold yourself up. But with God, you get to sit in the seat that He has assigned for you, and He has everything planned out with purpose and destiny, and that's what we want to find this morning. So, 28 million teenagers out there. Some are making good choices, some are making bad. I do not believe that a young person is just like, you know, I just want to make the wrong choices. That's what I'm going to choose to do. I don't believe that. I believe what it is that we make the wrong choices and then it ends up making more wrong choices and all that. Life is choice driven. But when you continue to make the right choices, God will bring the right people into your life that will help you and give you everything that you need to fulfill what His plan is for your life. That's because He's a faithful and a good God. The Bible says He comes to give you life and life more abundantly, but the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Can you guys see me back here? No, okay, I'm going to come over here. To steal, kill, and destroy. To disconnect you from God. So I'm just going to hold this out here. I was in track in high school, and you know me, I was so, I had so many insecurities. I would never wear a skirt, never wear shorts, because I was so skinny. I have scrawny legs, and then and they never saw the sun, so you can imagine they were very white as well. And then I have my burnt face, you know. So I had to run track, and I really wanted to be in track. But, you know, in track, you got to wear those shorts. And I was like, oh, my goodness. But I was really good. I was the fastest one in our school. I was like, okay, I can do this. Nobody even goes to the track. Nobody cares about track. That's what I was thinking. So I put on these shorts, and I was running in a relay race, and I was third in the relay, four girls in the relay. First one goes, second one, and I'm the third one, and usually the third one is the fastest one because you bring it back up so the last one can get it. So I'm running, and it was one of those moments. I'm serious, like that old school movie, Chariots of Fire, it's like, na, 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 you know, like, it was amazing. I never ran like that ever in my life again. And so I'm running and running, and all of a sudden, I see there's like a stand of people right here, and they all stand up. And they're all cheering, go Irene, go Irene. And I'm thinking, they didn't do that for anybody else. So as I'm turning the corner, I can see behind me that the girls are way back there. So I'm like really doing good, right? Well, as I turn the corner again, they're there, and they're chanting and everything, and all of a sudden, all I can think of, dork me, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, everybody's looking at me. I have shorts, and all my scrawny legs are showing, right? I'm running so fast, my face probably looks like this. And get this, the guy in the front row, I totally had a crush on him. Totally had a crush. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, and I remember his name was Ken, is looking at me. And I just was like, I stop this. I just want to get out of this. If you know, click your heels and I'm out, you know. But so I'm running it, and I don't know why I did this to this day. I don't know why I did this, but I was so nervous that I was running and so self-conscious that I turned around and I started to wave at everybody. It was almost like I was trying to say, like, okay, hi, stop now, you know, like, I didn't know what to do, and I started waving, and just like the movies, everybody was like, yeah, and they were like, what is she doing? And then when I realized what I did, I was like, oh my gosh, right? And my face turned hot. You ever had that when you're so embarrassed, and like the heat comes up your body and everything? And I couldn't breathe. My eyes started watering. And I started running. And all of a sudden, it was gone. And all of a sudden, the first girl passed me. The second girl passed me. And I finally got to the end of the line. And I was hyperventilating. I was going like this. They had told me to put my hands up in the air and everything. So embarrassing. What is the point of that story? I was supposed to be first. Because I was the best one runner there. But because I got distracted, because I got disconnected, I came in third place. Now, God has a perfect plan for your life. And you are destined to be first in God's plan for your life. Unless, the only way, sometimes the enemy knows he can't kick you out, but if he can distract you or disconnect you from who you are in Christ, from the people that God has placed in your life as a protection over you, then there is a possibility that you can have some mess ups and maybe not come out in first. But God does have a plan for your life. You are number one for God's plan for your life. There's three things that disconnect us, I feel, from making the right choices in life. The first one is to disconnect us from who we are in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation. Write these things down. If you guys are take notes, something might God might speak to you to something, and you don't want to miss it out. I've got journals, like a library of journals, where things God has spoken, I can read back later. Remind yourself of things that God is saying to you. First Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a special people. You are special to God, your pastors. Despite what others think, despite your past, despite what you've done, where you've been, all that stuff, your present situation, you are the number one in God's plan for your life. Now, I cheerleaded for 1 year. That same year, my football team was horrible, 72-0. And we were zero, obviously. And my coach came out after that game. I just remember that game, 72-0. And she's like, okay, I want you guys to stand right here while they run out. And we're going to scream, we're number one. And I remember thinking, she is crazy. Like, this is, we're not number one. And the guys are going to think we're crazy and idiots, actually. So there we are, and all the girls have to sing. And I'm in the back because I'm thinking, oh, this, I am. And we're number one. And the guys are walking by, and they just look at us like dumb cheerleaders. You know what I mean? The reason I say that is because you hear in God's word that God is saying to you, I have a plan for you. You are my chosen. I have a destiny. I have already put in you everything that you need to fulfill the plan and to have success in your life, to have what God's best in your life. But then you hear everybody else around, the score on the scoreboard, people have said in your life, your past, your failures, and it's all telling you 72-0. But yet God still says, I have a plan, and it doesn't matter. It begins from this moment on for every single one of us. Why are you number one? Why does God have his best intended for you? First of all, because it's not about you. So you got to get over yourself. So tell the girl next to you, girl, it ain't about you. Tell her. Now tell another girl next to you, say, girl, get over yourself. A good thing to do every once in a while. Why? Because it all depends on whose hands it's in. If you, maybe you've heard this before, and I love this illustration. If you give me a basketball, $19, I can buy you one. But if you put a basketball in Michael Jordan's hand, it's worth $33 million, because it all depends on whose hands it's in. You give me a baseball, I can buy one for $6. You put a baseball in Mark McGuire's hand, it's worth $19 million because it all depends on whose hands it's in. You give me a rod, I can hit something. You put a rod in Moses' hand and it became a mighty weapon that parted the sea and did a supernatural miracle because it all depends on whose hands it's in. If you give me a slingshot, maybe I can shoot a Coke can off of something. But if you put a slingshot in a young teenage boy named David, it becomes a mighty weapon that brings down an army and brings victory to a whole nation because it all depends on whose hands it's in. If you give me 2 fish and 5 loaves, I'll make you a fish sandwich. But if you put it in God's hands, it becomes a feast of 5,000 because it all depends on whose hands it's in. If you give me a nail and a hammer, I'll hang you a picture. But if you put it in the hands of Jesus, it produces salvation and everything you and I have ever needed or wanted on the face of this earth. Because it all depends on what? Whose hands it's in. That's why you have value and you deserve God's best. Not because you've been perfect or because you know how to get back up or any reason or who you came from or what's going on, but because you are in God's hands. The second reason is it's not over until it's over. And I'm saying this, all my friends got married in college and I was the only one. I'm still not married. I just got engaged. It's a fabulous story, but it's been tough. But you know what? Tough only when you compare to other people. Not tough when you stick with God's plan, because I have had a wonderful life. I've got to travel, do so many things, and I'm excited. Now that marriage has come, I feel like I'm ready. And you cannot compare to anybody else. But the reason that I say it ain't over yet is because everybody check your pulse. Is everybody okay? Listen, this is so true. The fact that you're still breathing and that you're still here today means that God still has a plan for your life and God is still moving and God's best is still intended for you. If not, why would He put breath in your life every single second? That's the reason why. Potential. Potential is you, is something that God has put there. It's something that can but has not come into being, is possible, is a quality, it's potent, it's fact, it's able to because of authority or power. In other words, it's powerful in action. You are powerful. The things that God has in you are powerful. You can make the right choices. You can become what the desires that God has put in your heart, but it has to be in action. No one, not even your mama, knows the potential inside of you. Only God does. Now, people are looking on the outside, but God looks on the inside. You all know the story of David when he was there and the prophet came in. I think that's me. Sorry. The prophet, put that back there. Oh, it's my hair. Sorry. It's all me. The prophet came in and he had the brothers lined up. He saw the first brother and he said, surely this has to be the king. So girls, he must have had it together. This dude must have been fine looking, eating his Wheaties. He must have like been sporting the right clothes and everything. I mean, because the prophet, the man of God came in and was like, and he was tall.